Way back in the 70s, when we lived in Finland, we were in the communist countries and praying for opportunities to minister there. And in our hearts, when the train from Moscow came into Helsinki, our Bible college students, led by Ben Turkia, were praying there. And if the communism ever ended, we would be there. That was our attitude. 1989, fast forward, 1989, Pastor Monty was here, and we were meeting at Dunkin' Donuts, and he said, "Let's go. Communism is ended. Let's go." And we said, "Where would we go?" And he said, "I'm flying back to Finland. I'll fly through Budapest, and I'll check it out." So in December of 1989, he did that. We got the green light. The team went in February 1990. My family and myself joined in the summer. And we just saw a country that was so open, people so interested, people asking questions. That was an opportunity. We could almost say opportunity of a lifetime. I don't know what year it was, but Pastor Chava could tell you. He was 14 years old, reading the Bible in a city in eastern Hungary called Debrecen. Pastor Brian, Joe Lavoy, others went there, and it was a beautiful thing. This has been a work of God. For a young man to say, "I'm after Christ, really. I would like Jesus in my life, really." And then for us to be able to minister in that capacity and for him to follow. He married a great lady, Jofi. There she is right there in the back. And he's pastoring the church in Szeged, Hungary in the south, doing a great job. Anointed, wise, committed, dedicated minister of the gospel. We're just so happy to have you here. Thank you. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you. Well, greetings from Hungary. And we are here with my family for 3 months. So we have a little over than 2 months to go. I pastored the church in Szeged for 15 years now. And we decided, the Lord led us to come here for 3 months. And 2 years ago, we planted another church in Szeged, in our city. We sent out Pastor Balázs with 18 people. So we are seeing the fruit of God's work. And it's really wonderful to be in the work of God. It's just awesome. It's a joy. It's our life. And I just want to talk a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit. And excuse me for my English if I'm looking for the words. But we love the work of the Holy Spirit, don't we? The Holy Spirit in the Bible, it has 7 symbols for the Holy Spirit. One would be the rain. You know, as the Holy Spirit is like the gentle rain that falls on us or falls on the grass and kind of feeds the grass, is the Holy Spirit that has gentle touch in our life, feeding us. Then the Holy Spirit is like a dove. As the dove rested on the shoulder of Jesus when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and the dove is clean. The dove represents the holiness, the purity of God, the presence of God. And as the Holy Spirit rests on us and we experience the presence, the holiness and purity of God, and we just want to be mindful of not driving away or kind of, driving away the dove, but just walking in circumspectly, because the Holy Spirit wants to minister to us. Then the Holy Spirit is likened to fire, which is the holiness of God. When there was the altar in the Old Testament, then fire came from heaven, and on the altar it was that fire that was there. It was not made by man, but it was made by God. So it's really the Holy Spirit is working in us, and it's a fire in us. We don't want to quench it. We want to be walk carefully. We want to appreciate greatly the work of God in us. It's the fire of God in us. It also likened to a river in John 7:37-38. Jesus said that out of our belly shall flow the rivers of life. And it's such a joy to experience and to walk in it. When we open our mouth, when we minister, we are not only ministered unto by the Holy Spirit, but we let God minister through us, and we open our mouth, or we are just kind, and we are just revealing the Lord Jesus, and we are caring, and we experience that out of our mouth and out of our bellies come really the work of God, and the Holy Spirit ministers toward others. So we are being fed, but also we are feeding others, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God, and we just love it. We also love how the Holy Spirit is teaching us, like He's our teacher, He's our guide, He's teaching us in John 16:14. He is revealing Jesus to us. He's exalting Jesus. The Holy Spirit is showing us the Lord Jesus Christ, His beauty, His perfections, His character, His nature. He's showing us the Lord Jesus. It's like in Genesis 24, that servant whom Abraham sent to get a wife or a bride for his son Jacob. And the servant went, and as the servant went, he met the future wife of Isaac, Rebecca, and went to Rebecca's family, and the servant represents the Holy Spirit. And it says in Genesis 24:36 that the servant was talking to Rebecca's family about Abraham and Isaac, and he says that Abraham gave Isaac everything that he has. That Abraham is a very rich person, and he gave everything to Isaac. So likewise, the Holy Spirit is talking about God the Father and the glories of Jesus Christ, and how the God the Father gave everything to the Lord Jesus, His only begotten Son, and Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ was given all the power, all the glories. And then verse 53 in Genesis 24, He gave to Rebekah and also to the family silver and gold and nice clothing, and it was given from the Father's riches. So the same way the Holy Spirit, as He ministers to us, He is giving us and showing us the riches of God the Father, the riches of Jesus Christ, and He is giving them to us, showing it to us. He's talking from the deep things of God in 1 Corinthians 2. And He's talking to the deep things in us, to us, and He's manifesting to us and showing us the riches of Jesus Christ that was given to us in the finished work. And that's just so awesome to be ministered unto by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:3 talks about being blessed. We have all the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. And then continues on in Ephesians 1, talking about what are those spiritual blessings that we have birthright to, as we heard this morning. And the Holy Spirit shows them to us, reveals them to us, These are grace riches that belongs to God the Father, that belongs to Jesus Christ, and now they belong to you and belong to me. All the riches of Christ, of God, are ours at Christ's expense. That's grace, really. All the riches of God's are ours now at Christ's expense. So we have this work of the Holy Spirit, this still small voice, this inner, we could say, this inner revelations as we are spirit taught in our walk with God. And just to finish this, there could be, I have experienced, you have experienced, that we miss out on this great thing of having this wonderful life of inner revelations, of excitement, of the fire of God, of the rain of the Holy Spirit, of the dove, of the rivers flowing through us. We can miss out on it, like Jacob did it, in a way like he missed out on much in part of his life, big part of his life. Like one example would be Genesis 28. At this time, Jacob lived in the flesh, as we can do. We can live by the flesh, in the flesh. And then Jacob was running away from Esau. And as he was running away, he was filled with his own plans, filled with himself, filled with his ideas, filled with his own ways, as we can be. And he was just mindful of his own things and running away. And then at night he laid down, he took a big stone, it was his pillow. And then at night God revealed himself to him in a dream. And it was like the still small voice of God giving him seven promises, as Jacob is like backsliding and not faithful, but God is giving him seven promises, finished work promises. I will be with you, I will go with you, I will defend you, I will provide for you, I will bring you back. You know, seven promises toward his future. You know, Jacob was a millionaire, you know, with these promises. He could have just rested and enjoy all the journey, but he did not. He missed on God, on the work of God. He missed out on this wonderful provision because he was so filled with himself. So Jacob woke up and said that, Genesis 28, 16, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he said, how dreadful is this place? How dreadful? You know, like it's the opposite of what the psalmist says, you know, how beautiful are your house, how great to, you know, be in your house. But this place is dreadful. Like Jacob had two things, as we have also, had the promises of God, you know, and also had the presence of God, the beautiful presence of God resting there. And he says, this is dreadful. And then he says, because he was so filled with his ideas and with himself, with his ways, with his plans, with his flesh. And then he says, well, God, if you will be with me, right? If you will provide, if you will protect me, if you will bring me back, which God promised him that he would, then you will be my God. So now comes, what, 21 years, as I remember, 21 years in Jacob's life, just missing out on the wonderful provision of God, the wonderful ministry of God, the privilege of him just resting and enjoying and knowing that God will perfect his work in my life. What God has started in my life, Philippians 1:6, he will finish it. You know, but he missed out on it because he was so full of himself. It meant nothing to him, the promises and the presence, the ministry of God toward him. You know, but later in his life, he became a broken man. And, you know, that's the work of God, that he would break us, that he would bring us to the end of ourselves, our own ways, our own ideas, our own rights, our own life. And when we give it up, when we are at the end, and we know that we have nothing, we know nothing, we are nothing, then we start to enjoy all the riches, all the everything, all the, we start to experience the ministry, that still small voice, that rain, that dove, that fire. We start to see the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. And it is a great, great thing to start our days, start our life, start our thoughts from like, Lord, I am nothing, I know nothing, I have nothing. Really, Lord, I'm a big zero. And I'm a big zero, Lord, and thank you. And thank you. And I just wanna be receiving from you, and then having the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And just let that river take us, and that river goes right from the east side of the altar, from the resurrection side of the altar in Ezekiel 47. It goes and then it touches the earth. It gives life, and this is how it goes. It's God for us, toward us, in us, and the ministry of God through us. Amen. Amen.
Okay, would you stand with me, please? Just stand for a moment. And yeah, to the praise, Lord, the stretch, praise. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, God. Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit speaks to us. We have Dr. Chung here. He's going to come up and share. And you, many of you know he's been on the military mission medical ship in the Caribbean, so he's going to speak in a minute. But before he does, I want you to get ready for that and think about how the Spirit does speak to us, like Pastor Chaba said. I'm so blessed to be here in this church. I'm so privileged, so honored that every day to come and be part of the body. I am so blessed by that. And I think that we sense the Spirit speaking to us. And Pastor Chaba said it so well. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide, our the one that reveals himself, reveals Christ to us, and the grace of God, God's grace, which is amazing. All right, so pray with me for a moment. Lord, we pray for this message from me and then Dr. Chung to minister to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Pastor Brian mentioned that we're going to have an expo, which is the ministry fair for all that we do in our work. Not all of it, but probably the primary parts. We heard Wilson Lippe share about the farmer's beads. We've heard also Bill Enzor gave a great testimony about ministering to wounded warriors. In an organized way and in an unorganized way, we know the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us. Pastor Butch Vieta does the motorcycles and meets in the woods way back in the swamp with Hell's Angels and other groups and ministers. We go out in the highways and byways, led by, in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit. This is amazing that we would have a vision in our heart for what God is doing in our church. I think the murders that happened this past week with martyrs, the Christians in Oregon that said, "I am a Christian." Somebody gave me the photograph of Ben Carson. Here it is. Yeah. There he is in his car with a sign after the shootings. Remember in this story, the survivor said, you know, that he lined us up and said, "Are you a Christian?" And if you did say so, then he killed them. And it's a great opportunity. I could be a dull, dead, kind of boring believer, but the greater the darkness, the brighter the light shines. It's going to be fun when some of us dull, boring, empty Christians start shining like light bulbs on the university campuses and say, "I don't believe in that." Well, what do you believe in? 1 Peter 3:15, we are prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us. You folks are going to be shining in these dark times, because now it will be popular to bash the Christian. It has been all the time. Late night talk shows, politics, the mood of the culture, high schools, university campus, mocking us, belittling us. But this is our hour. This is fun. Now, if I want to read this paragraph to you. Is your imagination of God starved? It's a good statement. My imagination of God, is it starved? Is my mind regarding God, is it small? The test of spiritual concentration is bringing the imagination into captivity. Is your imagination looking on the face of an idol? Is the idol yourself, your work, your conception of a Christian worker, your experience of salvation and sanctification? Then your imagination of God is starved. When you're up against difficulties, you have no power. You can only endure the darkness. If your imagination is starved, do not look back to your own experience. It is God whom you need. Go right out of yourself, away from the face of your idols, away from everything that has been starving your imagination. Rouse yourself. Take the jibe that Isaiah gave the people and turn your imagination to God. One of the reasons, of this frozenness is that our imagination is starved because we're not stayed on God. The starvation of the imagination is one of the most fruitful sources of exhaustion and sapping in a worker's life. If you've never used your imagination to put yourself before God, begin to do it now. It's no use waiting for God to come. You must put your imagination away from the face of idols, look unto Him, and be saved. This is Oswald Chambers speaking about the need to be stirred up and hear in a fresh way what the Holy Spirit has to say. Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear. With what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Hearing from God personally is our joy. To hear from God in the church service, the stretching of our hearts and our minds, and the anointing of God, and believing that what God is saying to us in a personal way refreshes us. It is interesting in Exodus 19, when the Jewish people said to Moses, let's see, Exodus 20, verse 19. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Let me read it again. The Jewish people said to Moses, speak to us, Moses, you speak to us, but don't let God speak with us, lest we die. How many people, maybe they might hear a message or read a book, but are they able to handle in their own lives that raw and personal encounter when God himself, like Pastor Chaba said, when I come to the end of myself and I collapse before God and I hear what God has to say to my heart and he speaks grace and peace to us. He builds us up in the inner man. He always does it. He never fails. He always says, grace be unto you. He always says, my way is the best way. He always says, do not worry, do not fear. He always says, trust in me. But somehow in this text, the religious people, the Jewish people, they said, don't let God talk to us. But Moses, you can talk to us. Some would say the Pope could talk to us. Some could say the pastor could talk to us. Or some religious concept. But what about God himself? Well, if it is anything less than God, then it'll be starving my imagination. I won't dream about walking on water. I won't dream about multiplying the food. I will not dream about the mission field. I'll not dream about being a pastor or a worker. I'll not dream about paying all my bills. I'll not dream about the future that God can give me. I will not dream about being able to pour out of my belly goes the rivers of living water. I will not dream about what can happen to Jacob. Or I cannot dream about what God could do if he gave me the wisdom of Solomon or the courage of John the Baptist. I can't dream about it because I'm not hearing from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will say to you, it doesn't matter who you are, he will say to you things that are not from the flesh. Rabbi Zacharias gave a great message recently. Actually, a number of his messages have been awesome. I've been listening to them on the podcast, a few here and there, in my car as I'm driving. Some of them extraordinarily good messages. They are amazing. He met one of our people somewhere in Romania, I think, and he said, I know greater grace. I know those people. That was an encouraging word. But he told a story about a woman. And her husband left after 23 years of happy marriage and went to Japan. And he had an affair and he wrote a Dear John letter to his wife and she was heartbroken. Had two children by that young woman. Then a few years later, he wrote a letter and said, I'm dying of cancer. Can you do anything for my two children? His ex-wife He says, I'll do everything I can. And in her heart, she said, I love you. In her heart, she forgave him. In her heart, she said, she took the two girls from Japan and brought them here and put them in, educated them, and gave them a life while when her husband passed away, ex-husband. And Ravi says, forgiveness is out of the box. Grace is beyond our capacity. To hear from God is beyond our flesh. To do God's will is beyond our capability. That's what Pastor Chaba said. The Holy Spirit. Moses, we'll listen to you, but don't let God speak to us. Don't let God lead me in my life. Don't let God make me a worker. Don't let God lead me to live beyond myself. It's not right that my husband would forsake me after 23 years, go off with a young woman in Japan and have two children and so on. It's not right. I despise him. I don't like him. I can't believe he did that to me, cheated on me. Cursed be him. That's right. There it is. That's the flesh. But who will hear from God? Who of us will hear from God? Well, if we do, we're like Jacob, like we said this morning. Jacob said, I want the birthright. I want the birthright more than anything. Like a good Jewish businessman, he sat down with his brother and he got a good deal. He got the birthright for a bowl of soup and he went along his way. And his mother, Rebecca, knew about it and she devised a scheme by which he could get it from his dad. And he got it. And of course, we are not embracing deceitfulness, but we are saying our life is called to a life of faith. Our life is called to a life of the Holy Spirit. Where we are hearing another one. We're hearing God. We're hearing another message. We're hearing about grace and about love and about caring for people. We love Baltimore because that's the mind of the Holy Spirit. We love the people on the streets in Baltimore. By the way, Chicago, last 3 days, 75 people died of overdose in Chicago because the heroin is laced with some poison. And some people died so fast the needle was in their arm when they got them to the hospital. They were gone immediately. There you go. Is that heroin in Baltimore? Is it coming to Baltimore? Will it be in your vein, in your arm? Well, you're coming to a church where we can say so. We're not afraid of offending anybody. And giving the warning out. Any drug addict anywhere. Hey, the devil will never tell you. He will kill you in a heartbeat. But oh, imagine. I am a Christian. Wow, where'd that come from? I believe in Christ. I have eternal life. I got a message for people. I'm here in God's place. Joseph said, am I in God's place, meaning to judge you? I am here as a messenger of grace to say God forgives you. I am so encouraged what happens in the hearts of our people, because wherever they go, even on a mission ship in the Caribbean, there's something more than the medical skill. There's a message in the heart. More than the medical training, there is, I will hear from God. Moses, you talk to us, but not God. We're the other way. God, you speak to us and use Moses as you at your pleasure. We'll hear both of you because he's from God and we want to hear directly from you, Lord, in our closet and in our heart. Welcome, Dr. Chung. He's a surgeon for the U.S. Navy, was on the mission ship, and he's going to share with us.
Wow, it's so great to be back here in the body. Just, you have no idea how great it is to be back. And we really missed you, and we so coveted your prayers, and we thank you for
just covering us, really, in your prayer. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for its vision. Thank you for just filling us with your word and your truth. Thank you, Lord, that we live in this country where we have the freedom to worship you here. Just pray you bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of you may have known, but my wife and I were gone for 6 months. We were on the U.S. Navy comfort ship, and we were part of the Continuing Promise 2015 mission, which covered 11 countries, which include, in the following order, Belize, Guatemala, Jamaica, Nicaragua, Panama, El Salvador, Colombia, Dominica, Dominican Republic, Honduras, and Haiti. The mission provided not only health care, but we had engineers aboard, as well as a team of CBs that built schools, that helped paint orphanages. There was veterinary services. There was just a multitude of services that this mission provided, and we were able to touch 120,000 people. I'm very grateful that my wife, Natalia, was able to come on this mission, and I just want to state that she is amazing. Just what she endured on this ship. Let me just picture for a moment the place where we lived. Was, by the way, we couldn't have, we had separate quarters. And literally you had about a 3-foot by 8-foot space that you just crawled into. And that's how we lived for 6 months. And you know, we were very busy. There were long days. We got up early. There was many days we would meet at 5:30 in the morning for breakfast and then just go for the rest of the day. We saw God work in amazing ways in every country. As a surgeon and a wife, together, we, as a team, we performed over 300 surgeries, both on the ship and ashore at the medical sites. Really quick, some of the precious patients that we encountered. There was one lady who was 80 years old who came to our site and had this eyelid mass growing on her left eyelid, which she had had for 50 years, obstructing her vision. And under local anesthesia, we were able to surgically remove that tumor, and she was able to see out of that eye, and she was so grateful. Another one was a 4-year-old girl who first came. This was in Dominican Republic. She came to our site, and her mother had waited all day long to have a procedure where we would separate her fingers because she had a condition called syndactyly, where they were webbing. And they had waited all day long, and we ran out of time, and we couldn't do it that day, but said we were coming back the next day to a different site, and they traveled all the way across town to the other site and waited, and we were able to correct her fingers under local anesthesia. It's amazing. But God gave us divine appointments in Nicaragua. We were able to meet with Pastor Ken and Kitty Davis, and they were able to come as escorts onto the ship for patients who didn't have escorts. It was amazing. In Panama City, we were able to meet with Brent and Lucy Helenga, and we were able to share in their vision from Panama City. In Haiti, we met Pastor Anous and Pastor Julian Matthews. And amazing story, really quick. When we needed translators really badly in Haiti because not many people speak Creole. So Pastor Anous brought his personal friend, and maybe you know him, Bien-Ami. He came to the site just with his bags packed, and there were only 2 translators that were ready to come to the ship that day. And we were desperate. And they said, "Can your friend come to the ship?" And sure enough, he was ready to come. And he just came aboard. And he was one of 3 translators in Haiti that were much needed. And it was just a divine appointment by God. Amazing. Though we accomplished a lot by God's grace and through his strength, there was definitely a lot of opposition and spiritual warfare. And that's one thing that you need to remember when you undergo missions. One thing, I was appointed as a department head in the operating room, and with that came a lot of people who were kind of against my wife and I working together. Let's just put that. And that they were very much thinking that I was showing favoritism to her and not to everyone else. But can I just tell you that you all have favor with God, that he chose you, and because of that, God has favor with you. I know I have favor with God because I have such an amazing wife. But let me just say, it got so bad with the opposition that the nurses were started to spread this poisonous gossip and slander to the point where Natalia was not able to join me in the operating room. It affected us working together at the med sites, and people would purposely switch our schedules so we couldn't be together. But we prayed, and by God's faithfulness, we were able to overcome that. Oh, just really quick, it came to the point where it was so bad, my direct boss came to me with a piece of paper and said, "I need you to sign this document saying that you can no longer work with your wife." I refused. I'm saying I am not going to sign any document that says I can't work with my wife. So 2 hours later, he took away my department head position. So I was no longer department head. He said, and in that statement, he said, "Member refused to sign." But then as I was kind of discouraged, I was thinking back to, you know, why we're here on this mission, I was reminded by God of my true position in Christ, that I'm on a greater mission with him, that we're not here to be, you know, publicly recognized by the world, but it's him that we serve, not anybody else. And as Pastor Schaller, I was talking to him after 11 o'clock service today, and he was saying, maybe you can share something about how do you prepare for missions and something like that. And I was thinking about this, and one of the greatest things that you can do to prepare yourself for missions is to realize and recognize the treasure of Jesus Christ that's in your own heart. Because it's Jesus that will do it in you and through you. It's no longer you, but it's Christ in you. It's like Pastor Chava was saying, it's the Holy Spirit and the work that he accomplishes through you. When you receive Jesus in your heart, it changes your life forever. Your blood type has been changed. It's no longer just your own blood, but it's Christ's blood that's in you. So every time your heart beats, it's Jesus being infused every cell of your body. So it changes your mindset. It changes your hands. I had a mentor surgeon who was a Christian in my training said, "Tom, what is the greatest asset a surgeon can have?" He said, "Some may say that it's your mind because of all the knowledge that you can gain, all of the studying and the learning how to do things and how to care for patients." He said, "Some may say it's your hands, the skill that it takes to be able to make fine cuts and to master doing a successful surgery." He said, "It's neither of those." He said, "The most greatest asset is your heart, because it's your heart that's going to dictate your mind and your hands to his glory." I'll tell you, Ephesians 3:16 through 19 says, Paul's saying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's Christ's desire is for you to just be filled with him, that your heart is simply just an expression of his love, that he fills your heart, the breadth and the height and everything. It's him. It's not you going to church. It's Christ in you that wants to go to hear the good news of Christ. You're not going to get this anywhere else in the world. This is the truth that we all need to hear. It's paying tithe. It's not you that pays it. It's Christ in you that wants to, because it's just an opportunity for you to glorify God in your money. And really, it's tithe is no more than just a test of your heart, a test of your faith. Forgiveness. Where else can you find a way to forgive other than if Christ is not in your heart? And I'll close with this. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21 says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." All Satan and the world can do is just cast dirt at you, and they will, and they have. And you can be just covered with mud. But you know what? Don't let go and don't dismiss the treasure that's in your heart. Because it's that gives you that new perspective, that new outlook on life, that ability to go to God, to go to the Word, to go to each other, to spend time in the body. It changes your whole outlook on life. It gives you a whole different perspective. And it gives you your genuine purpose, eternal purpose, which is to glorify God. And I'll close with this. When Jesus was on the cross, he was covered with dirt and mud and spit. And when he was on that cross, who was in his heart? You. You are his treasure. You are the treasure in his heart, and he is the treasure in your heart. I hope you have it. It'll change your life. It'll change you forever. And if you don't have it, please accept him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just the message that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for Lord, the hope and the peace that we have in Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the body. Thank you for the people who stand for you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, Lord, that does the work and accomplishes everything. Lord, that it's not us anymore, it's you and only you. To God be the glory. And if you're here and you haven't received that gift of Jesus in your heart, that precious treasure, may God just touch your heart and that you receive him, that priceless, eternal treasure. And only it's between you and the Lord. If you want to receive that, just accept it now. Just raise your hand, no one looking. This is only between you and God, but just you and him, a priceless gift. If you want to receive that, please receive. If you want to, there's an usher standing by who will receive, who will give you a packet. If you want to, please accept that treasure gift. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for dwelling in our hearts and our minds. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We praise you, and may you be glorified forever. In Jesus' name, amen.